Okay, so very, very interesting Ramban al Torah. Moshe is worried about him being Aral Sfasayim. So it's interesting that Moshe should be Aral Sfasayim before we question his own doubt and his own underconfidence. On the one hand, it highlights the point that Kadosh Baruch Hu's Nevuah is divinely inspired. Remember, Moshe is a prototype. Moshe is not just a person. He's a paradigm of Nevuah, of Nevi'im. He's Adon HaNevi'im. So obviously his Nevuah supersedes the Nevuah of other Nevi'im. It's very different. In fact, one of the 13 Ikarim of Emunah is you have to believe in the superiority of Moshe's Emunah. It sounds from many Rishonim that if you believe in Nevuah in general, but you don't believe that Moshe's Nevuah was surpassing, you may be in violation of his separate, autonomous part of the Yud Gimel Midos. So the Yud Gimel Midos, and in fact in the Rambam's and Imamim's, is not just to believe in the concept of Nevuah, but to believe in the concept of someone able to climb and to scale the spiritual heights that he can position himself, as Moshe Rabbeinu did, to be in a constant state of readiness, almost to dictate the divine flow, rather than have it be provided capriciously or involuntarily. It's an interesting Rambam, and very interesting that that difference exists not just in theory, but actually at the level of the 13 Midos, the 13 Ikarei Emunah. But it's also important to show that it's not personal talent, that even though you have to prepare yourself, you have to condition yourself to be a Navi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes that final decision. So the irony is one of the greatest speakers, and one of the greatest speech givers, and one of the greatest deliverers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word is himself handicapped, and is himself verbally impaired. Now, whether that verbal impairment ever disappears, did Moshe take, so to speak, speech lessons? Does he end up being a more gifted, at least physically, more gifted physical orator? We don't know. It could be that the Moshe Rabbeinu of Sefer Devarim still lisps, or still stutters, or whatever that Aral Sfasayim was, and that just highlights that it wasn't about personal charisma or physical talent, but about being a conduit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word. Very interesting speech I saw last night was given this past week. I have to read it fully, but by a rabbi in Dallas, Berakovsky, who highlighted this about Rabbi Lichtenstein, and one of the greatest men of our generation, was not a man of charisma. He wasn't a man who projected his charisma. He wasn't immediately warm in that sense, in the way that, oh, you meet a rabbi and within 5 minutes you feel embraced and you feel loved and you feel as if you've connected with that person, which is really the slogan of today's rabbinic relationships, and unfortunately we've seen where so often charisma tends to become a little dangerous, because when it's charisma, it's about the self and about the personality, and we've seen, unfortunately, so many scandals involving Rabbanim in many cases because as a product or as an outcome of their personal charisma. And in Rav Lichtenstein, we felt that honest, almost authentic substance, because specifically he was anti-charismatic. He wasn't that person that projected that warmth and that magical spell when you first met him. So I have to see where he wrote this, but I was very intrigued that he's not even, I don't think he's a Talmud of the yeshiva, this rabbi, but he picked up that there was a healthy form of leadership, and I think he connected it to Moshe Rabbeinu. I think to a degree there's also a sense of Moshe Rabbeinu is always the champion of the victim. He's a champion of Am Yisrael who were victimized by Mitzrayim. He senses the forlorn, neglected bones of Yosef, and he champions that cause. He's, by definition, Jews and the Exodus, the liberation from Mitzrayim is about people that are enslaved, and this sets the tone in history that Baruch Hashem, we try to defend people whose rights aren't protected by others. So Moshe always has that physical handicap, and he recognizes the fragility of the human condition, that life isn't perfect, and that some people may suffer limitations and defects, and he carries that with him, that sense of championing the cause of those that can't protect themselves. So that's all the reason, perhaps, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu renders Moshe verbally impaired. But what's interesting is that Moshe Rabbeinu acknowledges it and feels underconfident because of it. And the Ramban writes, this is actually, I'll read you the language of the Ramban. Let me find it in the Ramban. All right. Behine zu maila gedola lemoshe. This is very impressive. Zachabo be'anuso, because he was so humble, shayabosh ledaber, because he was embarrassed to speak, because of that, he zacha in Parshas Bo, v'chein ha'ish Moshe gadol me'od ba'aretz be'aretz Mitzrayim, who became so popular and so esteemed. Now, this Ramban is a little bit discordant, a little bit discrepant with our modern views on physical limitations. If, let's say, you had a bad physical lisp, or you stuttered, or whatever other speech impairment you'd have, Would your speech therapist or your social worker or your psychologist encourage you to be embarrassed about it? Would your Rebbe encourage you to be embarrassed about it? Or would your Rebbe encourage you just to present yourself with confidence? And despite your physical limitations, it's about what's inside. It's about your own inner poise, your inner confidence. We live with the Darkeinu boys. We're not embarrassed that we have Darkeinu boys. Each person does their best and presents themselves as best as they can. So in many ways, this Ramban in the 12th century doesn't necessarily resonate with our common modern views on physical limitations. If someone's ugly, let's say you're not physically attractive. Let's say you've had a car crash, chas v'shalom, or you're a burn victim, and physically you don't appear attractive. Would we encourage that person to be embarrassed? Would we reward them for that trait of being embarrassed? And that, that because of that trait, they obviously show great moral achievement? It's a very interesting Ramban. I think what it reflects to a degree is that we are in a very, very individual age. In an age of individualism, you're right, if Yoni, I'm just picking you because you're standing there, comes with a physical flaw, there's nothing to be embarrassed about because you're Yoni. And as Yoni, as a person, we want to value all your other traits, all your other characteristics, and all your other achievements. And the fact that God created you one way, or life and fate renders you another way, shouldn't in any way diminish the confidence that you radiate, or the confidence that you sense inside. I think that people used to live lives not just as individuals, but as institutionalists. I don't just live for myself. What do I represent? What institution do I represent? So, for example, if let's say you make a poor decision this Shabbos and you behave in an inappropriate manner, you represent the institution of Yeshivat Har Etzion. That's an actual institution. It's a physical institution. And people may render certain decisions about the yeshiva through your behavior. Okay, that's a very, very concrete institution you reflect. But what about institutions that you can't put your finger on, that aren't buildings, that aren't organizations that you can say, oh, I go to school here, or I eat lunch here? What about the evidently, I once read this article about a baseball player named Ryan Sandberg. He's a Hall of Famer, played for the Chicago Cubs. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame. In his Hall of Fame induction speech, he talked about that he always played not just for his team, and obviously not just for himself and to pat his own stats. We wouldn't look kindly on a player who's only interested in patting his own stats. We look more kindly on someone who plays for his team so the team wins. But he also felt like he represented baseball. The institution called baseball, the legacy called baseball. Excuse me, Harry, baseball is a very popular American sport. And if he wouldn't hustle in every play, even if hustling would not necessarily, let's say he popped out, baseball is a play where there's almost no chance that you'll score, but you run as hard as you can and as fast as you can and put forth maximal effort, even though there's no way that you'll achieve that particular sport's athletic goal. You still, let's say your soccer team is behind 5-0 in the last minute. There's no way you're going to win that match. But do you still hustle as hard and play as hard as you can because you want to respect the institution that you reflect. You want people to have more respect for the game of soccer. I mean, and this is sports. Sports is trivial. You want people to have more respect for the game of baseball. So when you represent institutions, not just buildings, but you represent something larger than yourself, you know that the stakes are higher and you're concerned with how that institution will be viewed and perceived by other people. In this case, how the sport of baseball will be perceived by fans and future generations. So Moshe Rabbeinu was not embarrassed, oh, people are going to make fun of me that I'm physically impaired or verbally impaired. But will HaKadosh Baruch Hu be presented properly in the eyes of the stage, the world audience? This is the first debut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the grand stage of history. Remember the Chazan on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, before he begins Musaf, speaks with a little embarrassment. I'm not worthwhile to be the Shliach Tzibur of Am Yisrael. His concern is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will poke fun that your tefillos are unsuccessful, so to speak, but he represents Am Yisrael. Will Am Yisrael be properly represented? That's something that we still have to try to recover, to try to see ourselves as representatives of larger than ourselves, to live life beyond just our own example. I spoke to a couple of boys yesterday about coming to Minyan. It's not just about what tefillah will suit you best and what tefillah will maximize your... But if you believe that for so many boys in yeshiva, it's important to come to tefillah in the morning, then your absence will render them less capable. I'm exhausted right now. I can hardly speak, but I know that if I wouldn't be here today, other people may not be here, so I want to make sure that I'm here. So I don't know that I would recommend you to be embarrassed in the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu was, because in our vernacular, in our practice, embarrassment and shame is very healthy under the right conditions. Moral shame, when you fail to live up to standards, you should be embarrassed, you should be ashamed in a healthy way. You should be despairing and depressed. You should feel healthy shame. But God forbid if God makes you short or tall or blonde-haired or black-haired or with a lisp, without a lisp, that shouldn't be the cause for embarrassment. But in terms of the larger dynamics that cause that embarrassment, to live for institutions, that's something I would recommend. To live not just for yourself. In Moshe, it caused shame. In our environment, I'm not so sure that I would encourage the shame, but certainly the living for something that you what do I represent? What do I live for beyond myself and beyond just ideas? Obviously, I live for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I live for, but what ideas do I feel that I want to represent? So, and just for example, I mentioned before that unfortunately we've had a string of rabbinic scandals over the last couple of years. I'm very conscious of the fact that when I travel, when I speak, I'm a rabbi. People look at me as a rabbi. And I have to try to restore some of that respect for Rabbanim, not in an artificial way that I project inauthentic selves and have poses and postures, but I just know that I'm representative of a larger institution. I know, for example, when I meet rabbis that are different from me ideologically, let's say, so I feel a deep kindred spirit with them, even if our hashkafos don't always align, because we're both rabbis and we're both working with every fiber of our being to serve Am Yisrael, to teach Torah, to convey the Masara. So I feel like I belong. There's no organization. I don't belong to the organization of Chabad that I go to their, you know, central conventions. I don't belong to Agudas Yisrael. It's not an organization, institution per se that we belong to. But we belong to the larger institution of Rabbanim that are trying very hard to, you know, advance Torah and modernize Torah so that it perpetuates through the generations. So Moshe was embarrassed. I wouldn't recommend shame, but I would recommend the identification with something larger that creates or produces that shame. Have a great day, everyone. Have a great day. I'm sorry. Verbally impaired. Good day, Moshe Rabbeinu. Aral Smasayim.